We have reserves and fears because we don't know how to do it. Is that all right? Our only, or maybe our basic drawback is, we just don't know how. Because I believe every one of you sitting here today that are part of this church family, deep down in your heart, you've always wanted to help people come to God. You've always wanted to be a living testimony and witness for the glory and for the truth that God has given to you. And the only thing we need is the proper tools and preparation. And then the other thing we need is what I'm going to preach about today. But we need proper planning, organization, and preparation. We have a brand new thing that we're going to initiate in this church beginning tomorrow night. That I'm not going to talk about it out here. You probably will never, I don't know, you may hear me talk about it from here. But all of the talk about it will be on Wednesday nights, our special training seminars and sessions. It'll be one of the biggest things that's happened in our church as far as follow-ups and contacts and being able to keep a grip on people who come through this place, period. Whether you're already here or those that just get here. So we're planning on that. And of course, the men. I am depending on the men. I hope tomorrow night I will be talking with all of the preachers in our church, the ministry, all of you, Brother Head, Brother Worthington, Brother Rutledge, Brother Pace, and Brother D.L. George, and as much as possible, Brother Steve, with him moving about and doing things. All of our preachers, they are going to be the ones who are going to be doing the teaching on that Wednesday night program. So it is going to be a fantastic and exciting thing. It will take us time. I hate that word, time. Don't you hate? No, we don't really hate anything, but time. I wish we could just do it, snap our finger, press a button, and shazam, it just appeared. Something vaporized in heaven and showed up here. Wouldn't that be great? The Lord, press a button, pull a switch, and all of this in heaven just vaporized there and showed up right here and we had it all. But it's not going to happen like that. It took us time. Brother Cornwell asked me Friday night after the service was over. He asked the people to clap their hands to give the Lord a hand clap offering for something. And when he did, he almost didn't get it back. And when the service was over, he said, "Do these people always act this way?" I said, "No, sometimes they're violent." I said, "Sometimes they're worse than this." And he made this comment. He said, "I have not seen this kind of worship anywhere I've been." And I said, "Brother Cornwell, we're nothing. But we prayed almost solid 2 years to get to this place. Now, we don't deserve anything, but we prayed a long time for this. And being that we're here, we're not letting up in prayer. And here we are now. We are at this place, and it is just no telling what God is going to do for us." Hallelujah. So many good and exciting things are on the way. And I'll tell you this. This is maybe a preview on what's coming up. There are times when I want to come to the pulpit and just teach doctrine. I want to just teach on the plan of salvation, what it takes to serve God and to come to God. But the Spirit of God has not permitted me to teach doctrine in a rally, in Thursday night, Sunday night rallies. And the reason for that is the worship and the power of God has been on such a high that everything is built around faith and submission and commitment and obedience and rallying to what God is doing. And we've got to have doctrine somewhere. Now, all the things we do and we stand for and we believe, those things are going to have to be done in special sessions and not just out here as a lecture to a rally worship service. So, this is God's will for us. And it's going to work great. So as many of you as can be here tomorrow night, and it will start at 7:30. And tomorrow night will be the night for organizing and preparing all of the things that we're going to be doing. I do want you to be in much prayer. I don't have a starting date. Brother Charles Pierce will be here and preach for us in the month of November. And I've got a feeling that it is going to be phenomenal. So don't miss any of it. If you have a Bible, if you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 4. Stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Acts chapter 4 and beginning at verse 23. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4 verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. Let me read a little bit more. It said this. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Would the church say amen? You may be seated. I remember some weeks ago when I preached a message to the church on Legion. And I've said very little about Legion of Gennesaret and that demonic from the land of the Gadarenes in the last number of weeks. But the story is so clear in my mind today while I stand here before you. When Jesus went across the sea from Capernaum, He came to the land of the Gadarenes. And when He arrived on the seashore, this man met Him out of the tombs, out of the cemetery there on the seashore. He was naked and wild and wounded. His body was covered with raw, untended sores and naked wounds. And when He came tearing out of those tombs, the multitude or those people who witnessed this scene may have thought Legion was going to attack the Lord and His disciples, just like He did those who had tried to bind Him in the past with chains and fetters and locks and stocks. But the Bible said when they tried to bind Him, He broke them all. He just snapped the chains and broke the fetters and the stocks and bonds. He broke them up and escaped. But when He came to Jesus, He didn't come with any roaring threat. He came and wilted before the feet of the Lord. And the spirit within him began to plead with Jesus. Not to that demonic spirit or spirits in him. Pleaded with the Lord that the Lord would not cast them out into the open. And when the Lord gave heed to that request, he permitted them to go into a herd of thousands of swine that were feeding nearby on a hillside. And when those demon spirits came out of Legion, they went into the hogs, and those hogs went wild. They became insane and plunged down the side of the bluff and into the sea and died. And the keepers of the swine ran to the city, and they told of the power of him who cast the demon spirits out of Legion, whom they themselves could not bind, but this man had delivered him. They immediately came out from the city, and they did not marvel. They were not awed by his power. They did not compliment him, and they did not appreciate him, but they appealed to him to leave. They were afraid of him and did not want him in their land, so they told him to leave. Now, one thing for sure, if Jesus comes, things are going to happen that stir up people. And the next thing is, if you don't want him there, he'll leave. He won't stay if you don't want him. But any time Jesus ever came anywhere or went anywhere, things happened. And some of those things were things that people marveled at, and they were affected by it and changed. And then there were those who hated him. Brother Cornwell said a few days ago, I've talked with him down through the years. Brother Darrell said he came and preached in their church in Oklahoma City. And he was much more wild and uncouth than he even was here. I don't remember him in those wild and ragged days. He said that when he first began to preach, he was in Ruston, Louisiana. And when he was there, he received the Holy Ghost in a church in Ruston, I don't know how many years ago, I didn't count back. But he said he was disliked and unwanted, and they didn't want him anywhere around. And he wasn't even permitted to testify for 5 years. If he testified, they would rebuke him because he was too wild. And they finally, he moved away to another town, and he got a bad recommendation from his pastor, even going to the other town. Everything was bad. And he told you some of the things that happened, but he spoke to our school chapel service on Friday morning. And this is why I said on Friday night, he and I had a lot of things in common, but I don't think I'd ever quite been a nerd. And some of you know what a nerd is, you know. Of course, today, it's really hard to be a nerd because a thing that people used to be nerds about are popular now. You know. Am I losing some of you? But he said the first suit he had, he said his wife adjusted the pant leg for him, and she cut him off about 3 or 4 inches too short, and he's already 6'3". And he had white wall haircut. He said he just had a little bit of hair up on the top. And he said you ought to see him coming with those short pants leg and white walls. And he said he knew he looked like a nerd. But I've lost all my point now. Hallelujah. But this man, Legion, did want him to stay. He didn't want him to go. They came to Jesus and said, "We want you to leave. We don't want you here." So very often when Jesus comes, he brings things that are contrary and adverse to our fleshly and carnal and physical concepts. It's not what we would think, and it's not what we would choose if it was all left up to us. But they appealed to him to leave. He just turned around, stepped back in the boat, and got ready to go. And when he started to leave, Legion came to him. And he said, "Lord, I want to go with you. Here he was now, clothed in his right mind. He had his hair was combed and parted. He looked like a normal human being for the first time in God only knows how long. And now he come to Jesus and said, "Let me go too." And the Lord said, "No." He said, "Go back to your country and to your kindred and tell them what great things God has done for you and have had compassion on you." And they pushed off the sandy seashore out into the water of the sea, and Legion waved by, and that was all he had. He didn't get to go to Bible school. He didn't get to have any Bible study training course. He didn't get to go to an orientation or new converts training class. I'm telling you, he got delivered. He knew what happened to him, and the Lord said, "Go tell it." That's all he had. That was the total essence of his training, was simply, "You've got it. You know what happened. Now go tell it to somebody else." And so he did. And when Jesus came back, the Bible said the people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him and they were glad he had come back. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The story that I've read about here today, the apostles had come to the temple in Jerusalem to worship the Lord, and they had found a man there who was crippled. A man lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked in his life. He didn't know what it was to walk. He was crippled from his birth. They took him out by the gate, by the beautiful gate, going into the courtyard of the temple to pray, the temple of worship, and they laid him daily. And there by the gate, he received alms. If he is like most beggars, he had a little tin cup or basket of some kind and rattled or shook that thing when anybody came by. Peter and John came by and he asked them for alms. And when they looked on him, Peter, fastening his eyes on him, said, "Look on us." He looked on them expecting to receive something. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Don't you know it took boldness to do that? It took a lot of boldness to do that. Do you know why Peter was so bold to make such a proclamation as that? To stand there? Listen, he was in a traffic area. He was in a place where people were on the move. Now, he couldn't take him by the hand and walk him back in the alley and talk to him and give him a personal testimony. I'm here to tell you the man was immovable except you carried him. And he stopped right there in the flow of traffic. And that took backbone or boldness. It took a lot of guts to do that. Hallelujah. Before I go any further, let me just tell you what I'm going to preach about. Verse 29 of chapter 4. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Now, we're not threatened, but "grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Lord, we want boldness. We want boldness. Not arrogance, boldness. Not brassiness, boldness. There's a difference. There's a difference in being arrogant and insulting and brassy and overpowering and being bold. They said, "Lord, grant unto thy servants boldness that we may speak your word." Now that's a hang up with a lot of us, isn't it? Is that right? It's a hang up. I've heard in the last few days people say, "I really want to do this, but I'm afraid." And look, don't be ashamed. That is, in fact, before you can accomplish anything, you've got to admit your failures. Before you can succeed, you've got to admit the fact that you need something to help you succeed. So they said, Lord, we want you to give us boldness. Now, in Acts chapter 3, here comes Peter along, and he finds this crippled man, and he looks at him and says, silver and gold have we none, or I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Reached down, took him by the hand, and lifted him up. I mean, literally began to tug on him, and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood. Even babies can't do that. I mean, mister, nobody's supposed to do that. He didn't even have equilibrium, if you want to use that term. He had never stood up and balanced himself before. I'm telling you, he simply was not supposed to do that. He had never walked. He didn't know what it was to stand upright. If he did anything, he had to pull himself along and crawl. Here now, the Spirit of God came on him, and he took him by the hand. He leaped up and stood and walked and entered the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Boy, wouldn't you like to have something like that happen to you? Wouldn't it be great? Do you know what brought all this on Peter's life? The Apostle Peter, remember this. The Apostle Peter was a man, or a human being, just like we are. Just like we are. Do you know why he could go down to the beautiful gate at the temple in Jerusalem and find a lame man and tell him, what I've got will make you walk. What I've got will get you up from there. What I've got's better than silver and gold. Now, you know why he could do that? Because he had just left the upper room at Pentecost. He had just had an anointing, a baptizing. Peter, at this point, now remember, it was just days before this incident that Peter ran and lied and cursed and denied that he even knew the Lord. But at Pentecost, in the upper room, he became a changed man. Now his outlook on life was different. He was willing now to boldly, in boldness, to tell it like it was. This is why today, now we're right up to the edge of this. And while God is ushering us and moving us into this, and I feel it happening, I cannot go any further without really emphasizing again, we need to be prayed up and prayed through, and we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I guess I'm just about as crazy as Brother E.J. Strange. And I don't know who else. Probably there were some more. But I stayed up here Friday night with those folks who were the plastic baggers. Oh, you'd have had to have been there to see that parade. But I didn't make up any pizzas. And I didn't package or bundle any or anything. I was a minister of goodwill. And if you think that's not biblical, I told them to go back and read how Elisha went with the prophets, the young prophets, down to Jordan to build a new church. And he didn't chop the wood, stack the logs, or put mortar in the joints. He just went among them and kept them all going, you know. So that's what I did Friday night. Superintendent. And at 3 o'clock, I got home and probably did not get to sleep until somewhere between 3 o'clock and 3:30. And then I got up at 6 o'clock and went squirrel hunting. So that's why I said, Brother Strange, he's as bad a shape as I am. I know he did it. But anyhow, I wanted to go just simply, I've done very little, this fall or summer, either one, as far as things like that. So I said, okay, I'll go. Then I'll come back home and I'll catch a nap later on in the day. So I went down, and when I turned off the road, off the paved road, and started down the road to the area I was going to, I mean, daybreak was just coming. The sun was breaking through in the east, and I drove down the road, and when I drove down the road, I just started weeping. And while I was weeping, a thought came to me. And I sit there and I said it over and over. I could almost sing it. I could have almost put music to it and just sung it. There was a day. Now, I remember. Now, I wasn't born in horse and buggy days. So, don't, Sister Meredith, I'm not that old. But I was born in the 40s. In fact, 1942. So you can think back, and you know how old I am. Anyhow, but I was raised on a farm, and we had a lot of horses and buggies. And I know what it is to hitch up a team or to hitch up a single trace and to ride on a buggy if it's just a wagon on a sawboard or some other kind of seat. We know how to do all that. And those dirt roads in North Florida, we use them a lot, moving about and doing things, horse and wagons. Now, there was a day when a horse and wagon was the best way to go. It was the best transportation on the market. Now, I'm telling you, I wasn't there, but that's all they had. Now, horse and wagons, now they could have ridden a horse, you know, which usually that was only one person, but you could take the whole family in a wagon. So for multiple transportation and for going anywhere, carrying anything and doing something, the best means of transportation was by horse and wagon. And while I was driving down that dirt road, I began to think, there was a day when the horse and wagon was the best way to go. But you put that thing on a freeway in Los Angeles, California, and it's the best way to get killed. Now, you won't last 5 minutes, I don't believe, especially in rush hour traffic. You don't even have to go to Los Angeles to do that. Dallas, Fort Worth, or Atlanta, or you could name a bunch of places. You just don't pull that prehistoric thing out on the interstate and expect to get anywhere. You get hurt. And while I was driving down that road, I began to think that sometimes some of our methods and some of our ways of doing things, some of our customs are like horse and buggies. At one time, it was the best way to go. But the more things go, you have to graduate and progress with the way God blesses, or it's about the best thing you can get killed in. The thing that was the best thing going can become the thing that can cause you to be hurt. That's right. I have said it so much, and I'm going to tell you one more time. It's not Brother Shirty. This whole church is on the move. And people who won't pray and won't worship, and folks who never show up in a prayer retreat, never take part in a prayer chain, and can't worship every time the Spirit of God starts to move, they look for somebody's baby to hold. And they look for somebody to go sit down by. All they're doing is putting themselves in a position for disappointment and tremendous letdown. And getting hurt. Now, years ago, that probably would have been all right. And maybe a person like that would identify with the crowd. But the crowd has stood up and marched off. It's not the same anymore. Is that all right? Does that make sense? That's not a put down to anybody. I'm just telling you. When God comes, when the Spirit of God moves into a place, things start happening, and you've got to decide whether you want it or not. Because if you don't want Him, He won't stay. But if you want Him, He'll do things that'll shake your world. He'll do things that will disturb our systems and do things to us that will be mind-boggling. Peter and John had just left the upper room at Pentecost. They were full of the Holy Ghost. We need more prayer.
That's one of the things I want to do tomorrow night. I want to arrange and organize more prayer than we've ever done before. Because the more we pray, the more we're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the more we're going to believe God for boldness and determination, and our vision is going to be alive, and we're going to believe God will do it.
And we can stop by the cripple and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me help you. Let me help you. Hallelujah.
So he stood up leaping, rejoicing. He went dancing and he went dancing. He went leaping and dancing. Sister Ruby Gully came to the house yesterday evening. She'd been talking with a lady. The lady in this doctor's office told her, she said, "You're not going to believe this." She said, "I went to a church the other night and I was sitting there. And while the preacher was preaching, somebody behind me said, 'Hallelujah!' She said, it almost scared me to death." And she said, "I looked around to see what happened." And she said, "I couldn't believe that somebody did that in church." Sister Gully said, "Well, you ought to come to our church." She said, "Well, what do y'all do?" She said, "Well, we run. Yeah, we run and we leap for joy and we dance in the Spirit and we clap our hands." She said, "Can I come to your church? I want to see all that. I just want to come see that." Hallelujah. Boldness. God, give us boldness. That man went leaping and dancing. Now you talking about, if you think some of your traditional formal churches in Washita Parish or in the United States, if you think they were formal, those Orthodox Jews were formal, friend. Now you talking about pious and self-righteous, and I mean doing everything to the letter and by the book, they went down the line. And here come this wild man almost turning flips into that place. That's right. He was healed. But you're not going to act like that until you get that kind of touch. When you get that kind of touch, you'll respond like that. It'll do things in your life. You know, people come to you, if they come to you and say, "I'll tell you one thing, I'll never be Pentecostal because I can't act like that." Say, "Don't worry about it. You don't have to. All you need to worry about is just going to church and just whatever the Lord tells you, whatever He does, just whatever you feel like. Don't tell them they've got to do anything." Is that all right? So he went leaping and bouncing and dancing into that Jewish Orthodox temple, worshiping and praising God. And when this happened, you would almost think everybody in the world would have come along and said, "Oh, we are so glad. We are so glad you're healed. We got so tired of seeing you begging by the gate." Again, there is story after story, incident after incident in the Bible. When these things happened, people didn't rejoice over it. They got mad. They were angry. They resented it. They hated it. I know what I started saying a little while ago, Brother Cornwell, when he said he was a nerd. He said, practically everybody in Kansas dislikes him. They just don't like him. He's too wild, and he's not of the norm. He doesn't fit the pattern. And he said, "Brother Shirty," and I don't know how to take this. He said, "You're one of the only men that I've met that I get along with." I don't know. I hope it was because of our dream for souls. But people don't always just rally to and like that kind of thing. I'm going to tell you something. If this revival goes on that God's given to us, and this church grows into the hundreds and possible thousands, there are going to be people all over this area that are going to criticize you and call you all kind of names just simply because you're having revival. Now, they hated them and they set on them. I mean, in fact, here was this man healed, leaping for joy, singing, shouting, worshiping and praising God, and the council,
of the Jews went out and arrested Peter and John and put them in jail. Just simply because they were not normal. They objected to it. They kept them in jail. Then after a certain while let them out. Do you know, they asked them a question. They said, by what authority are you doing this? Who give you the right to pray for that man, witness to him, and to administer to him healing for his crippled legs? Who give you the right to do that? That was a mistake. So Peter started boldness. He started off at the front and he preached them a sermon about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He started right at the top, come right down through the line, and he said, He is the same one that you led to the cross, condemned Him unfairly, and crucified Him, and you are guilty. And you know what the Bible said? They threatened them, Father, and told them, don't you preach any more in that name. And the apostles left that conference and went back to their own people in the city of Jerusalem, and they told them what the council had forbade them and had given them law that they could and could not do. And the whole crowd lifted up their voice and started to pray. They didn't pray for destruction, for fire and a whirlwind. They didn't pray for the wrath of God. They didn't pray for judgment. They said, Lord, You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You made the world and the heaven and the sea and everything in it. And Lord, we want You to reach out with Your hand and anoint us with boldness, that we may speak Your word. Lord, we're not asking for a revival of healing, a revival of miracles. We're not asking for a revival of blessings. We're asking for a revival of boldness. Give us boldness. Boldness, boldness, give us boldness. That we might witness. Have you ever just prayed for that? So the Bible said they prayed. And while they prayed, oh, we're back to prayer again. I want more prayer. We've got to have more prayer. We have got to have a 24-hour chain prayer in this place, never letting up around the clock, 7 days a week. We've got to have that. The Lord has been dealing with me about it for days. We've got to have it. That's where we are. We've got to have it. And we're ready for it. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do that. So they prayed. And while they prayed, the Spirit of God moved into that place and shook it. And you know what the Bible said? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought they already had the Holy Ghost. They did already have the Holy Ghost. He gave them another baptizing. He gave them another renewing. He gave them another powerful touch. And we need it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. We need to keep on praying through. Keep on speaking in tongues. Keep on getting our faith renewed. Keep on having the Spirit of God rebaptize us over and over again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes when I look over our congregation, when the Spirit of God begins to move, prayer sessions, prayer meetings, prayer revivals, prayer retreats and things. Sometimes it's the same people that do not respond and participate. And I want to tell you, I love you. And if you're here today, if anybody's here like that, I love you, but you won't make it. If you don't fall in love with it, you'll hate it. You'll resent a move of God's Spirit as much as you could love it if you don't get in it. I'm not saying what part you need to get in it. I could say one thing, you're going to have to give yourself to prayer and worship. You may not be one that runs the aisles and turns flips and all that kind of stuff, but every once in a while you're going to lift your hands up and worship God and you're going to tell Him you love Him. Something's got to happen to you. Hallelujah. You won't be able to sit there with your arms folded and your elbow in the back of the pew and just be bland and blank. I'm telling you, if you don't fall in love with it, you'll hate it. You'll find all kind of reasons and excuses why everybody's wrong and you're right. Hallelujah. They said, Lord, give us boldness. And so He baptized them with power. and shook the place where they were. And the Bible said, with great boldness, they went out to witness. And the Bible said, just a few days after this, that the Sanhedrin or the council brought them back in again and rebuked them and said, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Everywhere we go, we see people witnessing. They had 3,120 that were anointed. I don't know. Maybe all those didn't teach on Bible studies. And maybe all those didn't go out on the street corner. I've got a feeling they probably didn't all go. I've got a feeling some of them couldn't go. Probably some of those folks that got the Holy Ghost out of the 3,000 were feeble and old folks. I don't know. And they just couldn't do it. I thought the other night while Brother Cornwell was talking, wouldn't it be something to see somebody like Sister Linscomb go give a home Bible study and win somebody to God? Oh, I'd almost like to tutor her and help her just so she could bring somebody down the aisle and say, I won them to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, anybody can. Anybody can. Anybody can. Anybody can. God, give us boldness. Give us boldness. Now we have prayer and worship and love and unity and desire and vision and dreams. And we've got a lot of things that are working for us. But we need God to give us boldness. Boldness coupled with wisdom. Not boldness with arrogance. Not boldness with brassiness. Not boldness with hatefulness. But God give us boldness with wisdom. Maybe we could take boldness like a hamburger. And we call boldness the meat patty in the middle. And on the two buns, one is called wisdom, the other is called patience. Eat that a while. McDonald's never put out one like that. We ought to give a name for that. We could call that MacLTD or whatever. What do they do? But boldness. God wants to give that to us. Now you can become so affected by and intoxicated by your visit to the prayer closet and prayer revival and anointing and unction and the Spirit of God filling your life until you could just simply go do it. Now, I'm going to help you more than the Lord helped Legion. I'm going to give you some material to use. And I'm going to give you a class and tell you how to do it. The Lord didn't do that for Legion. He said, you got it? Yes, sir. You feel it? Yes, sir. Are you sure it happened? Yes, sir. Go tell everybody it happened. That's all it was. But it's good. Somebody's going to come along and say, where do you go to church, Glenn? Living Way. What do y'all believe? Well, I don't know. You know, I know I got the Holy Ghost spoken tongues. Well, how does it happen? I don't know. Well, we don't need that. We need to learn how to tell it. Because people want to hear. Is that right? Hallelujah. God give us boldness. Coupled with wisdom, understanding, patience. Hallelujah. Let's sing a chorus, Brother Darrell. Everybody love the Lord? Give us boldness that we may speak your word, Lord. Because we want to be soul winners. We want to be soul winners. Hallelujah. Let's do this. I think it's about the key of F. Let's see if I can hear that. Show me thy way, O Lord. Show me thy way, O Lord. Help me love when I'm hated. Spread joy unabated. Oh, show me thy way, O Lord. Oh, show me thy way, O Lord. Yes, show me thy way, O Lord. Help me love with unhated. Spread joy unabated. Oh, show me thy way, oh Lord. Sing it again. Oh, show me. Everybody sing it together. Show me thy way.